There's no one like mother to me.
Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, it's Joe from JoeColantonio.com, and you're listening to Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation related. And as you could probably tell by the intro, we're having a Mother's Day special, so I'm mixing it up a little. It's not going to be like any episode you heard before. It's going to be a solo episode, and I'm going to be sharing with you five things my mother has taught me about life and software testing. But first, let's hear it for our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. And actually, this might sound weird. One of the reasons why I love having Sauce Labs as a sponsor is for some reason, it reminds me of my mother. Every time I hear sauce, I think of my mom making meatballs. She made the best meatballs ever. And she'd always fry them before she put them in the sauce, and she'd leave them on the side for me. She'd always leave me one awesomely fried meatball to have before, you know, she put them in the sauce and we mix them up with the pasta. So anyway, just a random thought. So let's hear it for Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. So this episode is dedicated to all the mothers out there. So if you have a mother, gather around your cell phone and give her the gift of automation awesomeness for Mother's Day this year. She'll be so proud of you knowing that you're trying to make a difference and making your automation efforts awesome. I know my mom was proud of me. And maybe this show is going to be a little bit too much information for you, but my mom passed away in December, and this is the first Mother's Day without her. I actually wrote a blog post about what my mom taught me about life and testing the end of last year, and I got so much positive feedback about it, I thought I'd share it on the podcast. For those of you that haven't read that post, you can catch it at testtalks/51. But basically, there are five main things my mom taught me about life and software testing that I'd like to share with you today. You know, my nephew Brian has tattoos up and down his arm, and he told my mother that he was going to get a tattoo of her, and she was so over the moon about that. You know, she gave this, she had a very distinct smile she would give when she you could tell she was really pleased about something. So, you know, I'm not going to get a tattoo, but this episode's for you, Mom. So, five things my mom has taught me about life and software testing. Number one, respond positively to change. Now, this is a tough one. So, if you work in software automation or any software project, you know teams change all the time. My mom raised four children alone after becoming a widow at a young age. What was even crazier is that all those children were under the age of 7 when my father passed away. Despite my mom's best efforts to obtain stability by getting married, managing a home, having children, you know, pretty much trying to do everything right, mom was forced to deal with some pretty dramatic life changes after my dad's death. So if you're in the testing community, also development and testing has been going through some major changes with regards to the way in which most organizations develop software. So most companies have been doing a shift left type thing where development's becoming more and more involved with testing. But one of the most significant changes has been a move away from waterfall practices towards more agile practices. And actually, one of the agile principles from the Agile Manifesto is responding to change. So this one principle could likely be used to describe the majority of my mom's life. So no matter how meticulously we plan, life, like a software project, is constantly changing. And depending on how we respond to those changes says a lot about us and how successful our projects will ultimately be. You know, we all crave stability, but we all know it's just an illusion. So what I learned from my mom and from all my own experiences, is that you need to go with the flow. Meet the change head on, embrace it, and then adjust as needed is the only way to survive. So before Agile was a gleam in its creator's eye, I've already been exposed to one of its central tenets: respond to change as opposed to following a plan. Change can be scary, but you need to be brave regardless, whether it's work or life related. The second thing my mom taught me was always be learning. And so one way to overcome the fear of change that we talked about is to embrace continuous learning. Now, my mom loved music. She loved to dance. And one of my favorite childhood memories is when my mom used to sit me on her lap in front of a keyboard and sing, "I've been working on the railroad." And the thing was, my mom was no musician. She didn't even know how to read music. And so this was back in the day before we had computers and you had keyboards that would show you what keys to press. So what she did was place stickers on the keyboard keys she needed to press in order to play the song. So, you know, I've often seen and heard engineers say that they can't do something because they don't have the training, or they need to take a course or get a degree. You know, whatever they need to do to convince themselves that they can't do something. You know, in essence, they're waiting around for permission to start. You know, this I'd see this all the time, especially back in the day when we had these test tools where I'd see engineers, QA engineers, sitting in their cube going, hey, how do I get training on WinRunner or Quick Test Professional or LoadRunner? And, you know, I would just shake my head because I never had training on these tools. I just picked them up and start using them. In fact, I was just a QA engineer just like they were, and I just took the initiative. And so, for example, in a company, I was hired as a QA person, and I just took the initiative. I noticed they had a LoadRunner license. I knew nothing about performance testing or LoadRunner, and I just taught myself how to use LoadRunner. And then I'd show my manager, and all of a sudden, before I knew it, I was ordained the performance guy, the automation guy. And so full-time then, I would just focus on performance testing and test automation. And it was all because I just took the initiative to learn a little. And so I didn't wait around for my manager to say, "Thou is the performance guy." I saw something that I wanted to learn, something I wanted to be involved with, and I taught myself it, and I applied it to my current position and showed my manager how I was able to add value to what I was doing and take the initiative. And they could see, hey, this guy wants to learn. Let's have him take over performance testing. I don't say this to brag or to say I'm better than anyone. I just think personally, I found this approach a better approach to learning new things and to progressing in a job and not getting stuck in a dead-end job. I'm like, I didn't have training. Just pick it up and start using it. You know, try something simple, automate it, and you learn from there. But they wouldn't do it. They would just keep bringing up to the manager, we need training. Look, I understand you have a tool. It would be nice to get training. But in the absence of that, if you want to take initiative, go ahead and give yourself permission to start. My philosophy is do it now and ask permission afterwards. You don't need to know something 100% before starting. So don't let the fear of failure hold you back. Simply roll up your sleeves and jump in. Another thing I see is people getting caught up trying to decide what technology they should learn. Now, I get emails constantly about what programming language should I learn in order to learn Selenium. Just pick one and learn it. So the secret really is about 80 to 90% of what you learn from a programming language, you can transfer over to another language. So the principles you learn will apply to pretty much any programming language. So if it's something, just go for it. You know, for example, a few years ago, I wanted to learn more about API testing. So I set out to learn a new HP tool, which at the time was called Service Test. So how many of you have heard Service Test? Probably not many of you. It's been rebranded as UFT API. And even that, it's still such a small niche. But I wanted to learn it in order to start testing some web and REST services. And now, because APIs are a universal technology, most of the concepts I learned about when I was studying Service Test, I can now leverage with any other API testing tool. So all the backbone technologies, principles I learned about APIs and REST are the same type of things I would apply when I pick up, say, another tool, say, REST API. It's a different tool, but the concept is still the same. Because I took the initiative to learn another tool, I was able to learn the underlying technologies that I was trying to test. And because of that, I'm able to use that and transfer it over to another tool. And pretty much my ramp up on another tool is that much quicker, is because I already know the basics of API testing. So the whole point of this is, you know, don't be afraid to learn something. Go ahead and learn it, regardless if you think it's relevant or not. And in my experience, the more you learn, the more things you'll find yourself being able to apply to what you're working on in the future. So it makes you almost future-proof by doing things like this. And like I said, my mom loved to learn. She was always trying something different. Maybe she was forced into it. You know, when she first was left as a widow, you know, she didn't have a college degree. She was, you know, she used to work a few jobs doing jewelry, but she'd teach herself how to type, and she taught herself how to type fast enough that she was then able to take a state test and get a state job. And then from there, she'd gradually get better and better jobs. And it was all because she took the initiative to learn a skill and to apply herself and to do it. So like my mom, I go forward and I really try. That's something I've always will take with me, is a love of learning and always trying to learn more. Number three, the Boy Scout rule. Now, it may be hard to believe by looking at my website or listening to a podcast, but I am an introvert and a loner by nature. You know, my mom made sure that I participated in group activities like the Boy Scouts because of this. So as a Boy Scout, one of the first things that you learn when camping is that before you leave a campground, you should pick up any mess you find around the campsite, regardless of whether or not you created it or not. The point of this exercise is to leave the campground in a better shape than you found it in for the next group of campers. And actually, this Boy Scout rule is very famous, a very famous rule. I believe Uncle Bob has it in his Clean Code book. It's been adopted by many developers who are dedicated to creating clean code. And the same principle should apply to test automation code or any other development project. If you are working on a new method or modifying existing test code and notice something else that doesn't look right, fix it, even if it's code that you didn't originally create. I do code reviews, and one thing I notice for some reason is if a person's working in a method, it looked like it was previously checked in, and some of the code may be a little bit off, that it could be enhanced, it could be made better. But the person who's working on it just works on the little method that they added, and they don't go in and change it. I always make a comment saying, hey, since you're already in that method, you're already making a change, why don't you make these other small tweaks to make this code even better before you check it in? So you should always try to make your tests better than when you found them. Like we were saying with change in projects, is developers move from project to project, so you will eventually move on. But make sure to remember the other engineers that will have to take over your code base. You can make their lives a little bit easier by doing the right thing. And if you do this, maybe you'll start a trend. So when you start your new project, you may be inheriting a code base that's nice and clean because they adhere to these clean principles also. You know, one sign that you've created clean test automation code is if you leave a group and they continue to use your automation framework. I think it's very gratifying to see that. I left a team maybe 2 years ago after working on a project for 4 to 5 years, and I created an automation framework in QTP. And I talked to my old manager, and he tells me that they're still using this framework. So it's not perfect, but I left it in such a shape that it was able to be taken over by other automation engineers, and they're able to modify and move forward with it. So I just think as a developer that that's a gratifying feeling that I think we all strive for. So always try to do the right thing and make things better than when you found them. So that's the Boy Scout rule. And I would never have learned it if my mom didn't make me join the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts. Like I said, I was a little antisocial. And
I just thought of another bonus tip I learned from my mother's mother. So my grandmother was an old school Italian from southern Italy. So think an old woman, short, you know, with a handkerchief over her head. She didn't speak a lick of English, and she was slightly off her rocker. But when my mom would take her grocery shopping, I had to go, and I could not take my eyes off her. You know, she'd be in the produce section, squeezing all the fruits and vegetables, smelling the tomatoes, knocking on the cantaloupes. And if the fruit didn't pass my grandmother's smell test, It wasn't going to go in her carriage. This is another clean code principle that I learned from my mother and my mother's mother. And that is, if your code isn't acting correctly, if it's taken a long time, these are what they call code smells. And it's a symptom that your code is indicating that there's something at a deeper level wrong with it, and that you should listen to these visual cues and these smells that something's not right, and you should look into it even more. So that's just a quick tip. So if something isn't behaving correctly, if it's taking a long time to run, if it's acting flaky, that's a code smell that's indicating that there's a corresponding or a deeper problem in your code or your test that you need to take a look at and resolve.
My mom also taught me the value of women, strong women. And so this brings me to the point of women in technology. So I'm the youngest child and the only boy in my family. And I grew up with three older sisters. So I'm no stranger to being bossed around by women.
And honestly, I'm more comfortable working with groups of women.
I guess that's the main reason I never understood sexism. My mother was my first role model. She taught me that anyone, male or female, can be successful at whatever they choose to do if they work hard enough at it.
Beginning of last year, I started this podcast in which I interview many of today's leading developers and testers.
Like Janet Gregory, Rosie Sherry, and Danielle Louise Warman have been some of my biggest episodes ever. Believe me, I'm not saying this just to be politically correct. I'm probably the least politically correct person you could find. But it really comes down to the money. You know, I did a little research in that it's not about empowerment or women's lib. You know, it's really about what every company really cares about, whether they're willing to admit it or not, and that is money. So if you want to make money, you better have some women on your team. Have you ever watched the TV show Shark Tank? You'll know that the sharks will often comment that they're not crazy about gender-specific products because such products really limit the amount of customers to half the population, basically. So that holds true with about everything. So simply put, if you want to make money and you want your business to succeed, you need women. You need to reach out to women because half the consumers of your product are women. So you need one of the main reasons you definitely want women on your team. And it's also not about just female consumers. You need female employees and females in leadership roles as well. And why? It's simple. You know, at least half your audience is comprised of women. You need to be aware of what their needs and concerns are. Now, I've actually seen reports that say women account for as much as 85% of all the consumer purchases. And what's even more shocking is recently reports on CNN show that Google has relatively few female engineers and executives. Based on this report, women account for only, I think, 30%. In my little world, in my podcast, I've called this the female factor. Anytime I have a female on the show, I see a spike in my numbers. And, you know, it is a small sample, but so I just take it simply as more proof that if you want to be successful, especially in the technology field, you need to engage and employ more women. And if they're women like my mom, I'm telling you, you can only be better for it. And, you know, hopefully this isn't a sexist comment. I think the more ladies that you work with, the better, right? Am I wrong? Actually, it reminds me, my mom used to say, Joe, you don't say much, but when you do, you really put your foot in your mouth. So I hope I just didn't put my foot in my mouth. But I just think the more ladies, the better. So women in technology, good. Thanks, Mom, for teaching me that. So the last thing my mom taught me is that testing in life is hard. And my mom seemed to always have a rain cloud over her for some reason. Always something bad happened to my mom. But she always stepped up and she always moved forward. And I think her kids and her grandchildren all have that same characteristic. We may fall down, but we always pick ourselves up and we always move forward. My mom also had a great sense of humor, and you know, she used to always sing this song, Enjoy Yourself.
Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as
really put perspective around life that even when things get hard, you know, you're still blessed, you're still above ground, and that's a good thing. Always count your blessings, regardless of your situation. And my mom really put this philosophy to the test. You know, the last hurdle my mom had to deal with is around 4 years ago, she was diagnosed with cortical basal degeneration. It's just an awful, awful medical condition that over time, basically, it caused her to lose virtually all movement in all her limbs and eventually robbed her of the ability to even speak. One of my last memories I have is of her singing a hymn in church in a small voice, but with all the sound she could muster. You know, right until the end, true to her character, she never completely gave up. So, you know, let's admit it right now. Testing and automation is hard. Just like life, though, you don't give up. Move forward. Enjoy what you have and consider yourself blessed. So happy Mother's Day. If you're still lucky enough to have your mother with you, give her a call, give her a hug, give her a kiss. And like I said, this is like a show like I haven't done before, probably like I won't do again. So any feedback you may want to leave, just head on over to testtalks.com/51. Leave a comment. I know I talked all about my mom. I'm sure each of one of you have a special memory or a lesson you learned from your mom. So leave a comment. Tell me what your mom taught you about life and testing. And while you're there, make sure to click on the more info link under the exclusive sponsor section to learn more about Sauce Labs and how they can mother you with all their automation goodness. Hope you got something out of this episode. And as always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Good night, Mother. Peaceful be your dream. Your boy always will belong to you. He'll never be so far away that he can call each night and say, good night, Mother, good night.